This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We're going to hear first this week from Theater 5 and their story from December 1st, 1964, titled Finders Can Be Losers. After that, it's Box 13 and Much Too Lucky. That episode aired May 1st, 1949.
Theater 5 presents Finders Can Be Losers.
Attorney Granger's office.
Is this Attorney Granger?
I'm sorry, Attorney Granger is not here. He's gone for an indefinite time.
When will he be back in his office?
I said he's gone for an indefinite time. Who is this calling?
Well, he'll be back sometime, won't he? Can't you give me an idea?
I'll have to know who's calling.
My name is Jane Melton.
I don't see your name on the list.
What list?
It doesn't matter. Attorney Granger has left for an indefinite period of time. Possibly he'll never return. What can I do for you, miss?
I'm Jane Melton. I talked to you on the phone last week.
There have been a lot of phone calls. Did I tell you to come in?
No, but I thought I'd come in anyway. Has Mr. Granger returned?
Mr. Granger is away for an indefinite...
Yes, I know. You told me that on the phone. I'd like an appointment with him, please.
Miss Melton, I've told you that Mr. Granger is accepting no appointments.
That isn't exactly what you told me. You said that he's away somewhere.
Indefinitely.
Yes. But now you say he's accepting no appointments. That means he's not away, is it?
Miss, I'm not going to argue with you. Whether Mr. Granger is away or not, he's not going to see you.
Because my name's not on the list?
What list?
Well, you wouldn't tell me what list, so I don't know. Look, Mr. What's your name?
That doesn't matter.
All right. I'm sure that you're in touch with Mr. Granger all the time, and I want to give him a message.
I'll take the message, but I'm not in touch with him all the time.
Oh, I think you are. And I want you to tell him that Jane Melton wants to see him.
Jane Melton. All right. I'll leave the name, and he'll doubtless see it when he returns from Outer Mongolia.
Very funny. There's more to the message. You're to tell him that Jane Melton is 20 years old. Tell him that Jane Melton may not be her real name. Tell him that this Jane Melton, or whatever her name may be, lives in Spring City.
I have it all down.
Get word to him right away, please.
It might help if I might know the nature of your business.
Mr. Granger is a lawyer. Don't you assume that perhaps I have some legal case for him? What's so funny?
You know what kind of a lawyer Mr. Granger is, don't you?
In the past month, I've learned what kind of a lawyer he is. I've read everything I could about Mr. Granger.
Well, then, do you expect him to be interested in your accident case or boundary suit or whatever it is?
I expect him to be interested in Jane Melton.
The only people he's interested in seeing are the ones whose names are on the list I told you about.
You mean the list you didn't tell me about?
Have it your way.
Are all the people on that list gangsters?
Gangsters? I thought you knew what kind of a lawyer Mr. Granger was.
A gangster's lawyer.
Miss Melton, this isn't the 20s. Mr. Granger is a corporation lawyer. Or was, before he went away for an indefinite stay.
By corporation, you mean syndicate, don't you?
Well, at any rate, I mean big business. Very big business. His clients for the past 20 years have all been business establishments.
Illegal businesses.
Well, this is the kind of thing I have no authority to discuss with casual strangers who walk in here.
I still want to see him.
All right. Jane Melton. Or maybe that isn't a real name. 20 years old. Lives in Spring City. Have I got it right?
Right.
All right, Miss Melton. If he ever gets back from Tierra del Fuego, I'll tell him.
Care for a drink, Eddie?
Thanks, Mr. Granger. Bourbon, please.
Mm.
Here you are. Thanks. Telephone ring today?
No, Mr. Granger.
Good. Any cars turn into the driveway, even to turn around?
No. Now, I tell you, Mr. Granger, I think you're home free.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's been 5 months now, hasn't it?
Oh, nearly six.
Yeah, well, maybe we're in the clear now.
Well, it looks that way.
You know, it's a funny thing, Eddie. I never really wanted to be anything but a good lawyer with some legitimate clients.
Well, with your education, I can understand that, Mr. Granger.
And I succumb to temptation.
Well, the boys can tempt you pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't have a nickel at a time, you know. Not what I'd call a nickel, anyway. You think they really let us go?
6 months and not a phone call. I know a tempt to contact you, even in the office. Now, I think they've let us go.
I hope so. Anyhow, when Andy gets here, if he hasn't got anything suspicious to report, I'm going to bust loose. Hmm? I'm going to go to town, sit in my office, and wait for business. Legitimate business. I want to lead a normal life, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah, we can't fool each other, though. They might come for us any time.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think they will. I think they believed us when we told them we were through and we weren't going to rat on them.
Well, I sure hope so.
There's Andy's signal.
Well, I'll let him in. Oh, you want to give me the gun?
Yeah, here it is.
Thanks.
Hi, Eddie.
Come on in, Andy. It's okay, Mr. Granger. It's Andy.
Hello, Mr. Granger.
Nice to see you, Andy. Here's your drink.
Thanks.
Look, I'll go keep my eye on the driveway.
Well, Andy?
It's looking safer and safer. Practically nothing happens in that office. Except one thing.
What's that?
It's a girl. She called once last week. I told you about it. It didn't seem to mean anything, but today she followed it up. She came into the office.
What does she want?
She doesn't say. But she gave me a message for you. Wait a minute. Here it is. I'm to tell you her name is Jane Melton.
Melton?
Why? Does that name mean something?
No, of course not. Now, what else did she say?
Well, she said her name was Jane Melton, but maybe it wasn't Jane Melton. She said she's 20 years old and lives in Spring City. Does this girl's message mean anything to you?
Not a thing, Andy.
Andy, wake up, but don't say a word.
Shh.
What is it? The next room. Somebody came in, used a glass cutter. Now, you just stay in the hall and cover the door. I'm going in after him.
Okay.
Shh. Okay, cover the door. Okay, get him up.
Oh,
turn around.
Yes, sir.
All right, Andy, I got it covered.
Huh?
Come on, frisk her, Andy. Holy cow, she's got a gun in her hand. Come on, drop it, lady.
All right.
It's Jane Melton.
Who?
Jane Melton. I followed your friend here.
Hey, we better take her upstairs to Mr. Granger.
I'll get to meet him after all, won't I?
What's going on here?
Mr. Granger, it's that Jane Melton I told you about. She broke into this house with a gun.
Are you Jane Melton?
Yes.
Come into my study. I want to talk to you. Andy, is that her gun?
Yes.
Give it to her.
Hey, wait a minute.
Now give it to her, Andy, and you go back to bed. Eddie, you wait in the hall. Come on, Miss Melton. Come in, Miss Melton.
Thank you.
Andy was telling me about you tonight.
He gave you my message?
You're pointing that gun at me.
I know.
Why?
Did that man give you my message?
Yes.
In full?
I'm sure he gave it to me in full. He's very efficient. Your name is Jane Melton, but it may be something else. You live in Spring City and you're 20 years old.
That's right. And what did that message mean to you, Mr. Granger?
Should it have meant something to me?
Don't spar with me. I do have this gun.
Your message didn't mean a thing to me.
Let's put it another way. after you heard the message, were you going to see me or not?
Miss Melton, I was intrigued, of course. The message was so cryptic, but I wasn't going to see you. I was curious, but I wasn't going to satisfy my curiosity.
Why not?
Because I've been involved with certain clients over the past 20 years.
Gangsters.
It's an old-fashioned term, but let it pass. I have been involved with these men, and some of them may, for one reason or another, have wanted... Well, they may have wanted someone to be alone with me in a room like this with a gun in their hand.
If that's what you're afraid of, why did you give the gun back to me?
Because I'm a fatalist. And since you were here, I decided I might as well indulge my curiosity. Now, what did that strange message of yours mean?
The name Melton means nothing to you?
No.
Willie and Gloria Melton?
Never heard of them.
Willie and Gloria Melton are my parents. Mm-hmm. We live in Spring City. And I've always helped in the store we own from the time I was 12.
What all this has to do with your coming 200 miles to see me is something I do not understand. Won't you put that gun down?
Well...
Now, keep it in your lap if you want. If I made a dash across the room at you, you could kill me before I took two steps.
Well, all right. I don't like holding that gun anyhow.
Incidentally, is that what you came here for? To kill me?
I don't know.
It would depend on how I answered your questions, is that it?
I don't know. I've thought about being alone with you, and sometimes I've thought of killing you. And sometimes I've thought of just throwing my arms around you and hugging you.
Why?
Because I think you're my father.
My dear Miss Melton.
Don't you come near me.
All right, all right. What has given you this idea? I thought you said your father was Melton, something Melton.
Willie Melton.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was my father, too. I thought mother was... I thought Gloria Melton was my mother.
Well, I think you'd better talk it all out. I think you'd better tell me what happened. Tell me how you felt. It'll do you good. After that, you can shoot me if you want.
You're not the way I thought you'd be.
How did you think I'd be?
I don't know. A gangster.
Well, my record's against me.
But you're nice. And that makes it all the worse.
Miss Melton, no, hang it all. I'm not going to call a girl who has tears in her eyes Miss Melton. Jane, you'd better tell me all about it, Jane.
Well... As I said, I work in the store. We've got an office in back. I keep the books, among other things. And there's a safe in the office. But my father, Willie, Willie's the only one who knows the combination. But one day I relieved him, and he was in a hurry to keep a dentist's appointment, so he rushed right out, and when I went into the back room, I found the safe open. There was an envelope on the desk. An envelope full of papers.
Mm-hmm.
And... I didn't know where to put it. So I looked inside. And
you found something that told you these weren't your parents.
Adoption papers.
Mm.
And they never told me. I was adopted when I was a little girl, and they never told me. Mr. Granger, I sat there and it was as if I was some new person. And I didn't like it. And then, after a while, all I could think of was that it explained that... Oh, well, never mind.
Explained what?
Oh, nothing. A song. Something about a song and a man. But, Mr. Granger, I looked through that envelope. There were other papers there. One of them just had your name and address on it. An old address.
Melton.
I didn't feel there could be any reason for your name being in that envelope unless you were my father.
Or unless, as a lawyer, I arranged the adoption.
No. All the information about that was in the other papers. Mr. Granger, why was your name in that envelope?
I have no idea. I do remember that long ago, when I was young and had virtually no clients, I arranged for the sale of some store or other in Spring City. Now maybe to Mr. and Mrs. Melton. I can't remember. But that would explain it.
It wouldn't explain your name being in that particular envelope.
Now, was it a piece of stationery or just a scrap of paper? Now, what was it?
It was a little piece of paper torn off a pad, I think.
Then it slipped in that envelope by accident. It dates from about the same time as the adoption.
I'll never know, though, will I?
Why don't you ask your parents?
I've left them.
What?
I've left them. I just left the house that very night. I had a little money. I found out where you had an office. I got a job. And I've lived for just one thing, to have you explain this.
You mean the Meltons don't know where you are?
No. I couldn't face them when I found out how they'd lied.
Jane, do you love him?
Until that day?
Why do you love him?
Because they were my parents.
Because they gave you their love, isn't that right?
Yes.
All those years of love, and you wanted to wipe it out and bring heavy sorrow on them?
I had to find my own father.
Look, Jane. Jane, I'm going to tell you the truth. You see, I never had a daughter or a son. And if I did have, I don't think that however much I might want to have her or him with me, that I, a gangster, if that's what you called me, I don't think that I would be as good a parent as either of the two people who worked for the girl, fed her, clothed her, and loved her all these years. Now, look, Jane.
Yes.
I am not your father. I never was your father. But whoever your father is, now do you think it's wise to find him?
I don't know.
Jane, you want to give me that gun now?
Here.
Now tell me about Willie and Gloria.
It's funny. I was going to say they lied to me. That's what I've been telling myself for so long. But they're wonderful, really.
What are you going to do, Jane?
Go home to them.
Hmm. All right. You have a car?
Yes.
Fine. You'll find Eddie waiting there in the hall for you. He'll take you to your car. What's that you're humming?
It's the strangest thing. I suppose I must have been 3 and a half when I was adopted. And I've always had this memory of singing. And a tall man singing back to me. And I never knew what we were singing until...
Until now?
My daddy is tall, he is 5 feet at least. My daring old daddy is strong as a beast. If daddy could cook, oh, he'd cook a great feast. My daddy is remarkable.
Your father must have made that up.
Yes. And then there was something he sang. Oh, I've taken up too much of your time. Mr. Granger, I want to apologize. And thank you.
Nothing at all, Jane. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Granger.
Oh, this daughter of mine, she is pretty. And I try very hard her to please. But whenever I try to accomplish great feats, I fall down on my knees and I sneeze.
5 has presented Finders Can Be Losers, written by Robert Sanadella and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Jackie Grimes, Harry Belliver, Jimsy Summers, and Gar Woods. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production. Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of Star Times. I'm a betting agent in my state where betting agents are legal. I'm one of the many who are being taken for plenty. I think there's something haywire, but none of us have been able to figure it out. Now, since you'd be a stranger here, we figure you'd have a better than even chance of knowing.
And finding out how we're getting clipped. If you do, we'll pay. If you don't, maybe you'll have yourself an adventure anyway. My name is Bert Hendricks. Look me up at 6729 Sierra Way. Enclosed is enough money to take care of immediate expenses. Have a look, huh? Yeah, I had a look, all right. Right into the muzzle of a nasty 25 automatic.
Now back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's newest adventure, Much Too Lucky.
Are you going to be gone long, Mr. Holliday?
Well, I don't know, Susie. That all depends.
On what?
On what happens.
Oh, what could happen?
Where I'm concerned, anything.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I get worried about you, Mr. Holliday.
Sometimes?
Most times. It's just like a nomination.
Oh? What am I running for? Nothing. I just had a premonition.
What's that?
What you didn't have.
I don't get it.
Well, you work on it until I get back, Susie. I'm off to the races. The plane trip was quick and pleasant. And 8 hours after I said goodbye to Susie, I was talking with Bert Hendricks, a big, nice-looking fellow, but with a worried look on his face. After we had introduced ourselves, Hendricks let me know what was putting the wrinkles between his eyes.
Oh, it's got us roped and tired like a Christmas package, Dan.
How much are you losing?
Plenty. Runs into 4 or 5 figures every week.
Maybe somebody's being lucky.
To be that lucky, a guy'd have to be born with a silver horseshoe in his mouth. Look, yesterday I paid off on a long shot at 40-1. The clip ran to the tune of 20,000.
And that, as they say in books, is sugar with a capital S.
It'd buy a lot of coffee. Anyway, we figure we're getting it the wrong way. Clip. Bamboozled.
Well, why don't you go to the police?
With what? Troubles? That's not the answer.
Have you tried to find her?
Are you kidding? We ran ourselves into a lather trying to catch the angle. No dice. Dan, somebody in this town's plenty smart. Smart enough to know our boys.
And that brings me in.
That's right. You're a stranger. They won't take a second look at you. I caught your ad in the Star Times and played the bet. Well, here you are.
With nothing to do.
How much do you want?
Well, believe it or not, Bert, I do this for nothing.
Yeah, I heard you say that before, but I don't get your dodge.
My what?
Your gimmage. Dodge, racket, angle.
Oh. Well, I figure if the plot's good enough, I can use it in the story.
Okay, but no dough?
I'll tell you what, Bert. If I figure this, will you turn over what you'd give me to any charity I name?
Here. Here's a blank check. Fill in the amount, I'll sign it. But try to catch the capers that are putting the shellac on us.
With nothing to start on, I've got a job.
They're smart, plenty smart. What they win is over and beyond the run of luck or chance.
Any ideas?
Yeah, one.
Well, what's that?
They got a guy with a crystal ball.
That the best you can do?
Come on in the wire room with me. See if we can catch anything.
Well, up front?
Uh-huh. This way.
And we're getting ready now for the third race of the day.
We've got a radio back here, broadcasting direct from the track. Comes over a local station.
Oh, and where are the bets placed?
Right here, or by phone.
I see. And you take bets up until the time the horses are at the post.
That's right. But once the race starts, no more bets. Listen to the race.
Now he's in place. We're ready. And they're off.
Hiya, Bert.
Hi, Billy. How's it going?
Somebody called up and got a century on party line.
Oh, the 20-to-1 shot?
That's right. Oh, Billy, this is a friend of mine, Dan Holliday.
Hiya.
Hello, Billy.
The party line wins, Bert. It's the fourth long shot this week that's paid off.
Yeah, I know.
And each one was bet on. Is that it?
But heavy.
I still say there's one of them guys that's doing it by telepathy.
Listen.
At the half that's mine, owned by half a length over Cantilever, Rocket is third and falling back with Old Joe as party line still swings wide and moves up on the outside. Coming into the turn now with mine owned by a head over Cantilever and moving up fast on the outside is party line in third.
There he comes.
Who made that bet on party line?
Mike took the call.
Okay. Get me to the name of the guy who made the bet.
Sure. Right away.
Listen to that.
Mine owned and party line. It's mine owned by a half over party line and it's a driving finish with mine owned in front by a nose. Party line getting up the whip and moving up. And across the finish is party line by a head over my own.
Oh, 20 to 1.
Uh-huh, and $100 at 20 to 1.
Don't say it, don't say it. Come on, let's go back to my office. Oh, Dan, I don't get it. How can they pick long shots like that?
Is it only long shots?
No, not always. Sometimes it's the favorite, but it's always a winner. And I say no guy can pick a winner every race. Especially every long shot. Come in.
Want to know who placed that 100 on party line, Bert?
Yeah.
Here's the tab.
Oh, her again.
She's awful lucky.
Too lucky.
Who is it?
Name's Vaughn. Terry Vaughn. Singer at one of the clubs here.
She's done this before, huh?
Yeah, she's done it before. 20 grand today, 5 last week. Why doesn't she retire and leave here?
Well, she can.
Look, Dan. We've got this betting narrowed down to about 20 people.
20?
Yep. The most consistent winners. They never lose.
Oh, a ring, is that it?
That's right. But not one of them is ever at the track.
You mean they just don't go?
That's right, never.
I don't get it.
Neither do we.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah?
This call from Terry Vaughn came in just before the horses were at the post, huh?
Sure. We take bets up to the break.
What are you thinking about, Dan?
I was just wondering if there was any way of getting advance information on a race.
You kidding? Not a chance. This is a business with us. Legitimate. On the level. We know every angle and dodge. There's no way anyone could know before the race that a long shot like party line was going to nose across first.
You've got yourself a problem.
All right. How about taking a slice of it, Dan? What I said about that blank check still goes.
Okay, you've got yourself a boy.
Good.
I don't know where I'll start, but as they say in books, everything has a beginning. So, why not start with Terry Vaughn? Waiter. Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
I wonder if you'd deliver this note for me.
Certainly, sir. Where to?
Miss Terry Vaughn.
I'll see about it, sir.
Will this make you see any better?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Oh, and tell Miss Vaughn I'm a journalist.
Newspaper man?
Yes, I guess that's it. You see, I'd like an interview.
Well, I'll see what I can do, sir. I'll do my very best.
Wait here. I didn't know what Miss Terry Vaughn could tell me or wouldn't tell. There was a chance. She didn't know me, so she wouldn't be suspicious. It was 10 minutes later that the waiter came back to my table.
Miss Vaughn will see you, Mr. Holliday.
Oh? How did you know my name?
It was on the card you sent with the note.
Simple, isn't it, Dr. Watson?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, never mind. Now, where's Miss Vaughn?
Oh, she'll be here in a moment.
Oh. Okay, I'll wait.
Yes, sir. Glad to have been of service.
I waited, and I'll admit the wait was worthwhile. Miss Terry Vaughn glided across the floor to my table, smiled $5,000 worth of teeth, tossed $1 million in red hair over her shoulder, and put $10 million of the rest of her in the chair across from me.
You're Mr. Holliday.
You're Miss Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Your note said you wanted to interview me.
That's right.
Well, I'm flattered.
I imagine that's a fairly common situation with you.
What paper are you with, Mr. Holliday?
I have a connection with the Star-Times.
Oh, you're a big city boy.
I didn't know it showed.
Why do you want to interview me?
Oh, lots of reasons, Miss Vaughn.
Name one.
Well, I heard you were very lucky today.
Lucky? How?
Or do you win 20,000 every day?
What does this have to do with an interview?
Well, it's human interest stuff, Miss Vaughn. Very human and very interesting.
I see. But why pick on my lucky streak?
Because it was so lucky.
Oh. I've always been lucky.
Well, I can understand that. Oh, how did you happen to pick Party Line today?
I like long shots.
Always?
When I feel lucky.
Do you ever lose?
Sometimes. Why?
Oh, I'm just asking.
Mr. Holliday, this is a peculiar interview.
Oh, I don't think so. Just pleasant.
What paper did you say you were with?
The Star-Times.
And what are you doing here?
Vacation.
When is it over?
A couple of weeks.
I see. Well, Mr. Holliday, as far as I'm concerned, it's over now. Have a nice time.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Please stay here.
Why?
I feel that I owe you an apology.
For what?
For being so curious.
All right. We'll forget it.
Let's do. Let's forget all about $20,000, long shots, and lucky streaks.
And what shall we substitute?
Terry Vaughn. Do you mind?
I don't mind if I do, Mr. Holliday.
Well, it was a pleasant way to spend an evening. But when it was over, I was just as smart as at the beginning, which was zero. Maybe Terry Vaughn was lucky, but how lucky can you be? The next day, I met Bert Hendricks, and he had more trouble.
Well, somebody did it again today, Dan. Not quite as big as Terry's play yesterday, but enough. Enough.
One of the same 20 people you've tabbed?
One of the 20.
If it weren't for the fact that it's those same 20 people all the time, it could be just luck.
Yeah, could be. You saw Terry last night?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Terry.
And?
A very lovely girl.
I wish I had her money. It's mine. That's funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bert. I don't have to ask if you've watched those 20 people.
Oh, sure we have. They don't talk to anyone connected with the track. As far as I know, they don't even know anyone there.
There's got to be a gimmick.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself in the head.
Look, Bert, let's try to figure it out logically. You say every one of those bets is placed just before the race is run.
That's right.
And each of those 20 people picks a winner.
Yeah. Not only with me, but with all the other agents who have the same setup I've got.
Then how could they get advance information?
They can't.
They've got to, Bert.
Dan, we've been all over that.
Yeah, maybe there's an angle you've overlooked.
Okay, name it and I'll buy it.
Is there any particular race or races they always bet?
Hmm?
What races do you lose the most heavily on?
Wait a minute. That is an angle.
You think of something?
Maybe. Wait a second. I'm going to check. I think I'm right, but I'll make sure.
Hello?
Hello, Billy. This is Bert.
Yeah?
What race is being run now?
Time for the sixth.
Do you have any big bets?
No.
Were there any of the 20 on this one?
No.
Which ones did they hit?
Third, fourth, fifth.
That's all?
Yeah, why?
Nothing. See you later.
Well?
Third, fourth, and fifth. That's what I thought. Never the first, second, or the sixth, seventh, or eighth.
Always the third, fourth, or fifth.
That's right. But where's the gimmick?
I don't know. But hand me the phone.
Oh, here.
Thanks. Now, what's the phone number of the club where Terry Vaughn works?
No, I don't know. It's in the directory, but... Why? What's that got to do with this?
Bert, I don't know yet. But I'm going to ask the lovely Terry Vaughn if she'll go out with me tomorrow afternoon.
Afternoon? What are you getting at?
Your money. I hope. Hand me the directory.
And now back to Much Too Lucky, another Box 13 adventure with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, I had an idea. Not a big one, and not one that made sense yet. But I was going to play it. So the next afternoon, I met Miss Terry Vaughn for lunch. I arranged the time so we'd be together just about the same time the horses went to the post for the third race. We sat in a little cafe.
I was really surprised that you called me, Dan.
Oh, why, Terry?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because you seem more interested in my luck than in me.
The two go together.
I suppose so. Do you ever play the races?
No, I never have. But there's always a first time.
That's what they all say.
Why do you ask? Got something good, as they say in the vernacular?
Oh, I never get tips.
Ah, but you win.
Occasionally. Mm-hmm.
What's your secret?
What makes you think it's a secret?
That was just a figure of speech. Let's talk about something else.
Oh, what time is it?
Hmm? Oh, 2:20. Why? Thinking of leaving me so soon?
No, but I have something to do around 3.
Ah, important?
To me, yes.
I see. Well, shall we take a walk?
Yes, I'd like to.
Okay, that's it. So we walked. Harry was very charming. I was beginning to wonder about my hunch. Maybe it was luck after all. Then a few minutes after 3...
Dan, will you excuse me for a few minutes?
Oh, your important 3 o'clock date.
That's it. I have to make a phone call.
Want me to wait?
Yes, if you want to.
Oh, I do.
I'll make it from this drugstore.
All right. I'll wait right here.
I won't be more than a few minutes.
She went into the drugstore and straight to a phone booth. I slipped inside, went to a counter. The clerk came up to me.
May I help you, sir?
Yes. Let me see a pair of those binoculars, will you?
These? They're not very good, except for children, just toys.
Oh, I like to play with toys. May I see a pair?
Certainly. Here you are.
Thanks.
If you point them outside, you'll get a better idea of what they'll do.
Oh, I'm getting a good idea right here.
Excuse me, I'll be right back, sir.
Uh-huh. I watched Miss Terry Vaughn in that phone booth. The binoculars weren't very good, but I saw the numbers she dialed and remembered them. She spoke for a few seconds, hung up, dropped another coin, and dialed another number. I got that one, too. Then the clerk came back.
They work all right, sir?
Oh, they're marvelous, just marvelous. How much are they?
$2.95.
Here you are.
Shall I wrap them?
Got any kids?
Huh? I mean, why, yes.
Well, here's a present for them.
But you just bought them.
Well, you see, I like your kids. You take these.
But sir, I can't take these, or can I?
I walked back outside and got to the pavement before Terry Vaughn finished her second phone call. I was standing there when she came
well,
out.
Well, there we are. All set.
Make your call all right?
Yes. Now, how'd you like to see the town?
I'd love it. Come on, let's go. We spent a pleasant afternoon, but my mind wasn't on my work. I was trying to keep those phone numbers straight in my head. Then Terry had to go to the club for rehearsal. As soon as she left me, I headed for a phone booth and dialed the first number she'd called.
Hello?
Hello, Bill?
Bill? What number do you want?
Is Bill there?
There's no Bill here, I'm sorry.
You're sure there's no Bill there?
You got a wrong number, bud.
Wrong number, huh? Maybe, maybe not. I dialed the second number she'd called.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hendricks, who's that?
Hendricks, this is Holiday.
Holiday, what's up?
Listen, did Terry Vaughn place a bet this afternoon?
Yeah, on the 4th.
Did she win?
She had 50 on the winner's nose.
Look, she was with me when she made the bet.
You heard her make it?
No, she was in a phone booth. Was that the only bet she made?
That was enough.
How many winners did you have in that race?
6 of the other 20 people had the winner.
How about the other races?
3rd. All winners among the 20 people.
Uh-huh.
You got the gimmick?
Maybe. But I've got to prove it. Listen, just sit tight, Bert. Don't open your mouth. Don't let out a peep. And above all, don't try to see me.
But, Dan, if you know anything, please.
I don't know whether I know anything or not. But I'll find out tomorrow at the track. Later that evening, I made a purchase. A very important one. Then I called Terry Vaughn and asked her to go to the track with me the next day. It took a little persuasion, but she finally said yes. So the next afternoon, with my purchase in the pocket of my topcoat, Miss Vaughn and I went to the track. And up in the stands...
Do you know, Dan, this is the first time I've been here this season.
Oh, I thought you liked racing.
Oh, I do, but, well, being at the track makes me nervous.
Nervous? Why?
Oh, no reason at all.
Which horse do you like in this race?
Oh, I'm not going to bet.
Oh, now, with your luck.
I don't want to force it.
I see. Well, I don't blame you.
Why don't you go ahead and bet?
All right, you pick a horse for me.
Think my luck will rub off on you?
Could be. Go ahead, pick one.
Well, let's see. How does this one sound, Bright Angel?
Bright Angel it is, in the third.
It's almost post time.
Uh-huh. Well, these are good seats.
Yes, they are.
I reached in my pocket and took out the important purchase I had made the previous evening and started to unwrap it.
What's that, Dan?
Oh, I just bought this, a portable radio. I wonder if I can hear the race on it.
Don't turn that on.
But why not?
Put down that radio, Mr. Holliday. Put it down.
Why don't you want me to turn it on?
You're just a little too smart, Mr. Holliday. This is a gun in my purse. You're getting out of here. Go on.
I carry radios. You carry guns. You're well equipped.
Go on. Lead the way.
Oh. Okay. She was as cool as an Arctic winter, and she handled the gun nicely, kept it in the small of my back under her handbag. Somehow I knew she'd use it if she had to. We got to her car, and a half hour later, she marched me into a room where a man sat wearing a pair of headphones. He looked up as we came in.
Hello, Terry. Who's this?
A smart boy, Tim. I'm leaving him with you.
Smart boy?
Mm-hmm. He's wise. How he got that way, I don't know. But after the fifth race cleanup, we're leaving town.
Well, it's about time. We couldn't run this racket forever.
You know, Mr. Holliday, you're lucky you didn't come along sooner.
Yes, I know. Before you made your take.
That's right. How did you figure it?
Through a 295 pair of binoculars. I saw the numbers you dialed yesterday.
Oh. You should be with us.
Let's see. That thing there is a wire recorder. You tap into the broadcast line that runs from the track to the radio station without the station's knowledge. You record the broadcast, then play it back into the broadcast line. 2 minutes after the regular airtime.
You are smart.
And those 2 minutes give you enough time to place bets on sure things. You already know the winners, but the bookmakers don't.
Correct.
But you only pull this on the middle three races of the card, so that latecomers and those who leave the track early won't catch wise by listening to their radios.
Right again. The broadcast is delayed 2 minutes. The race is already over before the bookmakers even think it's started. Sit down, Mr. Holliday. Watch him, Tim.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to clean up a few odds and ends. Goodbye, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, we'll see each other again.
Oh, I doubt that very much. Goodbye. And be very happy that some of my luck did rub off on you.
Smart dame, smart dame. Knows angles.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah, we make a take here and then move on. Now, you just sit still, Bub. I got some work to do, but I can still watch you.
I watched him, too. The wire recorder was spinning. He flipped a switch, and I knew what happened. The third race, the track was over, but the broadcast of it was going over the air now. 2 minutes later. Then...
Now we sit tight for a while.
Say, that wire recorder, I've never seen one before.
Great gadget, yeah. Great. I make recordings of my own voice all the time.
Oh? You mean all you do is talk into that little microphone and your voice is recorded right away?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to say something?
Hey, you're obliging.
Oh, sure, anything to pass the time. Gets dull in here. Go on, say something, and we'll play it back for you. Go on.
Well, what'll I say?
Oh, anything. First thing comes to your mind.
Well, my name is Dan Holliday. I'm being held prisoner at 758 Condo Street at the point of a gun. Please help.
Oh, great. Just great. Don't you wish someone on the outside could really hear that?
Yeah, I guess I do. Now, you mean that thing will play it right back, huh?
Sure. Just got to switch from the record to playback, that's all.
He turned his back for a second, flipped a switch. I flipped a switch, too, and waited.
Well, my name is Dan Holliday. I'm being held prisoner at 758 Condo Street at the point of a gun. Please help.
See? That's all there is to it.
Well, what do you know about that? Isn't science wonderful?
Yeah, sure is. Too bad you had to come along and spoil this racket, mister. But I guess we made a big enough take. Keep your hands up, mister. I can shoot and answer the phone at the same time. Yeah?
Tim, what happened?
Happened? Nothing. Why? The guy is
Listen,
still...
Listen, get out of there fast and take him with you. We'll take care of him later, but get out of there fast.
Terry!
Something wrong?
I don't know. Get up and move out. Go on.
I did. But I did something else first. We walked out of the place, a gun in my ribs. I hoped what I'd done would work. We walk up the street a piece, and then...
That's cops. All right, duck in here. Go on, in this hallway. Now, just keep quiet and let them go past. Guess they won't find nobody there, will they?
No, I guess not. Well, what now?
Well, wait for a minute, and we go. All right. Now get in front of me and stay there. Go on.
Drop that gun.
What? Who?
Better drop it. There are a lot of cops.
Okay. Don't shoot.
Dan Halliday. You all right?
Sure, Hendricks. Did you hear my broadcast?
Yeah. Your voice cut in right in the middle of the regular broadcast.
Huh? I don't get it. How'd they find us? How'd they trail us?
Oh. Look on your coattail, Tim. You didn't know it, but when we left that room, I hooked the end of the wire from the recorder on your coat. You see, Tim, you were wired for sound.
Gee, that sure was a clever idea they had, Mr. Holliday.
Uh-huh.
And you were clever, too. That wire left a trail right to you and that man.
He was wired for sound, Susie.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I'll bet you got a racy story out of it.
What, Susie?
No, don't you get it, Mr. Holliday? I made a joke. Racy story. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, with this week's original story by Robert M. Light and Mr. Sandville. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. Part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker, and production is supervised by Vern Carstensen. Box 13 is a Mayfair production from Hollywood. Watch for Alan Ladd and his latest Paramount picture.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find more from Theater 5, Box 13, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at relicradio.com. You can also donate through the website. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, it's how this keeps coming to you every week. Visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links for more information on that. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.